My dearest Arthas, my son, the day you were born, the very forests of Lordaeron whispered the name Arthas. I watched with pride as you grew into a weapon of righteousness. Remember, our line has always ruled with wisdom and strength, and I know you will show restraint when exercising your great power. But the truest victory, my son, is stirring the hearts of your people. I tell you this, for when my days have come to an end, you shall be king. Yours in this life, and until you stab me with a sword, Tyrannical King 97. There you go. That was for you, Allison.
Many realms of Azeroth to the great dark beyond via the magic of podcasting. This is episode 8 of the Rolling Restart. Hello, my name is Ro, and my co-host this week is the ghostwriter of Tyrannical King 97 and many a letter to someone's dearest Martha on a show called Court.
Court!
It's John Jagger.
Hello, Ro.
Hello, John.
Good to be on the show, though. It feels like we've done this before, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
And nobody heard it, the thing that we did.
There was episode 0 all the way back recorded in December, and then we recorded, I think it was supposed to be episode 4 or 5, and it was all about lore and, you know, our favorite and worst lore moments in World of Warcraft, and then technical difficulties happened, and no one got to hear that show, and I couldn't even recover it if I wanted to, so...
That's all right. I can sum it up real quick here.
Yep.
John really likes Sylvanas.
You do.
He talked about her a lot.
Yes, and I'm a fan of Wrath of the Lich King, and I'm cool with Legion, and we both hate Warlords of Draenor, which should come as no surprise to a lot of people.
Yep, that's okay. Episode done. Now people are going to be shocked at how long this episode goes by comparison.
Indeed. So, for those people who don't know, in addition to a Heroes of the Storm podcast called Core, John does another show called Azeroth Roundtable, which might surprise some of you because, John, as you were telling me in post last night, you more often than not get called out for doing your Heroes podcast and not as much the WoW show now.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a case of just people assume that's what I would like to talk about, which is probably true. I'll talk about either. I'm happy to be here talking about WoW. But it was funny because I was at BlizzCon and there would be times where I'd be standing right next to Ben, who's my co-host on that show, and people would come up and they'd be talking to him and, oh, I love Battle Pets and Azeroth Roundtable. You're doing such a good job and all that. And then they'd come over to me and I'd think, oh, okay, they're going to meet me now and introduce themselves and all that. And then they come up to me and they're just like, so we got to get rid of Garden of Terror, right? Yeah, we do. It's a real problem. It needs to be taken care of.
And I feel like you're probably going to get told this about 2 or 3 times at BlizzCon, at least this year. You'll probably be told something to the effect of, I love those Dear Martha bits.
Yeah, I've quickly become known mostly for Dear Martha.
It's like a show that goes without Next Jeopardy or Dear Martha just doesn't feel entirely complete, it seems.
Yeah, we had an episode we did recently where we finished the episode. I felt like it was a good episode, but for whatever reason, Scott had to call it a night early, so we weren't doing any after show games. And the chat reaction at the end of the show was, no after show games, no Next Jeopardy, no Dear Martha. Good episode? Question mark.
Well, I hope that this is a good episode because, John, we're going to be talking about World of Warcraft, and it's kind of an interesting thing having you on and talking about this game because this is a game that you and I both love. We still, you know, pay our monthly dues, be it via WoW token or cash or however you want to. And I feel like right now, we're both consuming content differently. I'm logging in every day, doing world quests, grinding that reputation, working on getting flying, which I think I'll have in a day or two. Supposedly, some people already have flying in Legion, which is quite impressive, all things considered. But for people who haven't heard to the most recent Azeroth Roundtable where I was on, I strongly suggest listening to it because it kind of ties into this. You've been consuming Legion a little bit differently, especially in regards to 7.2, which kind of surprised me.
Yeah, I was very excited for the patch, and I logged in right when it came out and did the scenario and was thinking, yeah, we're going to take it to the Legion. And then I got to that hub area where everybody's, you know, putting together buildings and doing stuff. And I was wandering around, and I don't know if I was just very early, like, arriving, but nobody was around. It felt like I was in a barren landscape. Mm-hmm. And I'm just looking at the vendors that are around there, and I look at them, and, you know, I see, hey, bring me these splinter things, and I'll give you an item that'll let you redeem a piece of armor for your class. And I just had this, like, gut reaction of, oh, we're doing this again. Okay, and I logged out, like, immediately. As soon as I saw that, I was just like, okay, well, I'm good. And logged out of the game, and didn't log back in until earlier this morning.
So, I guess one question I have for you first, and I think a question that anyone else playing the game fairly regularly might ask is, what were you expecting? And I don't mean that in like a pointed, angry way or conflicting way or anything like that. But when it comes to how this content was going to be presented to you, what were you looking for, if not what they have set up right now?
I don't know. I think it's so hard to say because I feel like I should also clarify that when we switched Azeroth Roundtable to be less mm-hmm. news focused, one of the nice things about that decision was I didn't have to stay on top of what they were doing with patches all the time.
Right.
And I, you know, Ben hates spoilers. I'm kind of okay with them. I kind of like knowing things in advance, but it let me experience the content a little fresher without any perspective on it. And as a result, I was able to, you know, not only know tangentially what was going on in this patch.
Yeah.
And so what happened was I logged in and I expected to be fighting the Legion, you know, storming Sargeras's tomb and the, you know, big Legion war and that sort of stuff. And instead, it looked a lot like Tanan jungle, maybe minus the jungle part. Like, it was all green and destroyed, and it was, hey, go do dailies, go do world quests. There's a new place to do world quests, but it's not as interesting as the old places to do world quests, maybe. And here's a new currency. And if you need incentive, here's your incentive. You get flying eventually. And none of that just felt very compelling at that particular moment. So
the stakes weren't high for you. Basically what was on the line wasn't appealing for you. Yes, there's Legion flying and yes, there's like gear and stuff that you could get. The carrot didn't smell good enough, I guess.
No, it felt like the carrot had already been eaten. It was like,
right.
Hey, here's the same carrot. We got it again. And I don't necessarily like to always throw another game out there as the point of comparison, but I think it's strong in this case. I think of what a game like Old Republic's doing right now with their content, their patch content.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed it up for the most recent expansion, but for a while there, what they were doing is every month you got a new chapter in a story. And you could play through that chapter, and it was usually pretty quick. Like, it would be hard to keep yourself engaged if all you cared about was story for the entire month, but you were also getting something new month to month to month, and you had a set schedule, and you knew when you could expect it, and all of that. And it front-loaded the story. So what would happen is you would log in, and somebody would come to you and say, hey, here's what we got to do right now. And you would go off and you would experience a story where you're making decisions and, you know, learning more about your character and moving the story forward. And then when that was done, it'd drop you back at the hub and say, okay, now go do dungeons, go do raids, go do your social things. Like, it was almost like little tiny micro expansions every month.
Yeah.
And that felt really cool and compelling. And the problem with, I think, the way Blizzard does it is they want it spread out so much so that when you log in on patch day, it feels like 90% of the patch isn't there yet.
It's so like, the one thing that Blizzard's doing, and one thing that they did with the lead up to, you know, Nighthold and Suramar, and it looks like they're following that model with Tomb of Sargeras, is they're kind of adding in a new section of content or a new portion of the content week to week rather than what you just mentioned, month to month with Star Wars. Now, on one hand, I want to ask you, do you feel that the month to month method is better than week to week? But if you say yes to that, my immediate counter is going to be, well, what about 5.1, which you and I both have hailed as one of the best storyline development patches in World of Warcraft, and that basically developed week per week. It's interesting because I'm trying to what is it that Blizzard's not doing right with the delivery of story content and stuff that makes us still want those days of 5.1?
So I think their biggest problem is they're not transparent enough about it. I don't know when new story content's coming out. I don't know when to expect it. I don't know where I need to go to find it. They've got that little thing when you log in that pops up that's like, hey, here's a thing to do. But that doesn't tell me when I log out and say, okay, this game's not offering me anything. That doesn't tell me, hey, come back in a week. That tells me, hey, keep constantly checking back to see if there's something cool in the game. And I'm sure that's what Blizzard wants me to do. But the problem is that once I'm out, I have a tendency to kind of forget about it altogether and, you know, come back after the fact. And then I feel like I'm so far behind. Oh, okay. Maybe I just shouldn't do this. Like, I think what worked to the benefit of the month to month is I knew, okay, it was like Telltale with their chapters, mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, it's a big deal that it's coming out. And 5.1 did nail it because that progress was tied very clearly to your
reputation.
Yeah. And I feel like you had a good idea, and it was week to week at first, and then it was every 2 weeks, and it just became clear. It was like, okay, this is an on week. This is an off week. But I mean, you had to do it weekly, though, was the other thing, because if you wanted it that following week, you still had to do the week before. It was basically, at first it took a week's worth of effort, and then it took 2 weeks worth of effort. But I feel like it set expectations, and I knew what to expect. And I don't know if it's because I'm not going to a bunch of websites and researching it, or if Blizzard's just doing a poor job of communicating it to us, but I don't know what to expect when. Like, you say they're going to keep rolling out new content week to week, but what does that mean? Like, I don't feel like I have a clear picture of what that is. What's coming out in a week that I need to be looking at? Because right now, my quests just tell me, go do daily stuff.
Okay, so a couple things that I'm getting from this, a couple of things I realized, is that I almost feel like part of the problem here is, get ready for this, Legion flying. and let me explain why. One of the requirements for Legion flying, in fact, one of the only requirements for Legion flying after you've gotten the first Pathfinder thing, it's basically explore the broken shore and then get revered reputation. Because they're attaching that revered reputation toward Legion flying, everyone that really wants flying, and there's a lot of people that do, are pushing as hard as possible to get that reputation. And because of that, that kind of goes, like, Yeah, there was reputation gaining in 5.1, and as you gained reputation, story triggers would happen. But during 5.1, I don't know about you, John, but I never felt like I had to hit Exalted ASAP or I had to hit Revered ASAP. It's like, yes, I'm gaining reputation, and, you know, I'll hit those spots when I hit it. And it wasn't like story happened right at Honored or right at Revered. It would be like when you're 60% into, you know, this spot and stuff would happen. And I almost wonder if because the whole flying requirement tied to reputation is there, that kind of prevents them from doing story gating tied to reputation like they did with 5.1. It's just an interesting observation of mine.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. I don't think flying's a good incentive. I don't think it should be an incentive. I don't think WoW should incentivize things we've already had. To me, that just isn't going to continue to hold. Like, it's going to just become more and more arduous. Like, this is arguably the easiest it's ever been to attain flying since they decided to put a bigger chore around it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, to me, there's a level of like, ugh, because it's, you know, it's now the third time I've had to really earn it, and we're this many expansions in that I've had to unlock it. So it just kind of, I don't know, it hits that level of diminishing returns where it's just like, I don't know what I'm getting out of this anymore, except achieving something that I already had. I guess what it ultimately comes down to is 5.1 surprised me. It was a patch that I was, first of all, wasn't expecting to like. It was like, oh, okay, it's the story of Garrosh coming to Pandaria. How good's that gonna be? I hate Garrosh. I don't want to keep hearing about him. And then it ended up being this just like perfect storm of content that I really, really enjoyed. And wouldn't go on to enjoy a patch as much until the Timeless Isle hit. And I really liked that one too, but for different reasons. But so first of all, it was a surprise. And I think that was a played to its strengths.
There's nothing quite like your first. And it really did storyline progression unlike any patch before it.
And I think that's where I'm at now. I don't think what they're doing in Legion is bad. It's just not surprising.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's not surprising or new or interesting, we live in a world of a lot of distractions. Video games in general are really good right now, and there's a lot of them. And most video games out there are built in such a way or designed in such a way to make it the one video game you need until they put out another video game. Like, that just feels like the way they design things these days.
Horizon Zero Dawn and Mass Effect Andromeda both say hi.
Yeah, I've very nearly finished Horizon. I'm working at ending Mass Effect Andromeda. Heroes of the Storm, they've got a huge new thing coming out in 2 weeks.
I can't wait for that.
Hearthstone just had an expansion, which I don't even play Hearthstone, but I've been playing Hearthstone. There has been Diablo has a new season going, and yep. Soon we'll have the Necromancer.
Will be on the PTR soon. Yeah.
There is just so much, and I mean, we just scratched the bare bones surface. Forget about the new Zelda, if you have a Switch, the amazing back catalog of games that I need to look at. And when you look at the sea of those games, and again, we're talking about just video games, forget everything else that's going on in life. It's very hard to look at the new shiny and cool, amazing distractions and turn around and go, well, here's WoW doing the same thing it's always been doing. I guess that's what I want to go play.
So, I agree with you. You and I are of like minds on this. That being said, I also know that there is a very sizable portion of the player base that, for them, WoW is their game. It's like they play WoW, and that's it. So, the dev team has this challenge of, I mean, really, it kind of goes along the lines of you can't please all the people all the time. You can please some of the people some of the time. So it's a matter of, you know, pleasing this section of the player base at this time, this section of the player base at the other time. Like, for you and me, I feel like we get our largest enjoyment out of WoW during expansion launches. And then when content patches hit, I mean, yeah, there's some cool new stuff, and I obviously I'm far more engaged in it right now than you are. But I will still admit that the patches, while they are good in their content, and I'll still play the game during there, it doesn't feel the same as the expansion launch itself. Is that necessarily Blizzard's fault? No, because I don't expect every patch to be like an expansion launch. For me, it doesn't have to be. But for other players, I think expectations can sometimes be set a little bit too high on what they're expecting out of Blizzard when a new content patch hits, as far as like how much content they're given, when they're given it, how frequently they're given it.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a problem there. I mean, the thing I always think about, because I do think about the people that are totally happy and think WoW's, you know, just chugging along and doing great, and there's plenty of them out there.
Yeah, not everyone's critical of the game. There's plenty of people that love it and don't find anything wrong with it.
But I wonder if those people too, like, if they change things up, would that be so bad for them? I mean, I feel like the story and a lot of the front end things that we have to do change all the time, and these players have stuck with them there, and it always makes me wonder why they're so slow to change the back end of the game. And I mean, they do a little bit. We've seen mad swings on what dungeons are and what they represent. But I mean, when it gets right down to it, once you max level, the experience that you're about to go through has been largely the same since vanilla. And, you know, maybe if you haven't been playing since then, it's not as bad because you've only seen it repeat 3 times, 4 times, maybe not even that.
Right.
But maybe it just gets a little harder to deal with the more you've seen it. I don't know. To me, I felt like they took risks in Legion in the early game that I really appreciated. And it makes it that much more confusing that they don't seem interested in taking any risks in the later part of the game.
And that brings me up to an interesting observation that I want to make about Legion, actually. Perhaps the most exciting, interesting time for me playing World of Warcraft was the couple of weeks before Legion launched, when we had Legion invasions happening throughout Eastern Kingdoms and Kalimdor. You'd go to some of these zones and they would be entirely changed. There'd be Legion structures built, and demons everywhere. And it was such a unique experience. You'd gather up in, you know, your kind of hub area for that zone, like the main village city for the zone. There'd be a bit of a fight at the beginning where everyone's grouped up, kind of fighting off the Legion. Then you'd kill a lieutenant. People would spread out, cover the whole zone, and each kind of fight their own battles. Some people would be grouped up, but it'd be a zone-wide effort for about, you know, 15 minutes or so. And then everyone came together for one final big boss fight at the end. And there was something that was really dynamic and cool about that. And invasions in 7.2 don't give me that sense of excitement and feeling. Now, John, I know you haven't had really an opportunity to do invasions, but I can basically describe to you, this is what invasions are like in 7.2.
Okay.
Every 18 hours, for a 6-hour period of time, one of the zones will be flagged as being invaded by the Legion. During that 6-hour period of time, the world quests that are usually there are replaced by a different set of world quests. If you complete 4, you then do a short 2-3 part quest line, which ends in a 3-player scenario that either involves taking out a boss on a Legion ship that's horizontal, or taking a boss out on a Legion ship that's vertical. I kid you not. So, Legion invasions, my thoughts on it, and the invasions are kind of cool. The scenario's kind of cool, but I'm going to be critical here. This is because this kind of ties into what we're talking about, how things like felt fresh and exciting and stuff like that. The invasions pre-launch felt exciting because there was a lack of obvious structure to them for me. It felt like it had structure, but at the same time, it also felt very chaotic, and it also brought everyone together at the beginning and the end. It felt like there was just a sense of weight and magnitude to it. With these invasions, I just feel like I'm doing a different set of world quests, and I get a three-player scenario at the end. We're not all banding together in one spot to fight one big bad guy at the beginning, and while we're defeating one bad guy at the end, it's with two other people, and something doesn't feel as epic or satisfying or fulfilling about that. I remember fighting some of those epic bosses in the launch invasions. People were dying. I mean, those bosses weren't just pushovers. These three-player scenario bosses, they're dying within 30 seconds, especially if someone pops Lesser Time Warp. And now that I've explained all of that to you, John, are you sad that you haven't done an invasion yet?
No, not really. So there's a couple things to unpack here. I'm notoriously famous for thinking the Dark Moon Island and the Dark Moon Fair is a beautiful, amazing zone that infuriates me. I don't like when an MMO sets an expectation on my time for me. Maybe what we are discovering over the course of this episode is perhaps the biggest issue that I tend to have with Blizzard and their MMOs is gating content, progress gates, restrictions. What it feels like is when I got into MMOs, because the idea was, here's a world, go do what you will in it. Like, go experience it. Go experience it with other people. Like, it's not going to be by yourself. There's going to be people that you interact with and go on adventures with and go on quests with. And it's so
funny.
Was
your first one EQ or World of Warcraft?
My first one was technically Asheron's Call.
Okay, well, quick question about Asheron's Call then, because I never played that game. Would you say it was kind of a theme park style MMO where you're going to one place or another, or did you pretty much have that freedom to go in the world where you wanted to?
I feel like you had the freedom. I'm sure there are people who have played Asheron's Call listening to this, and they're going to be like, you didn't play Asheron's Call. It should be clear.
It's been a while.
There were a few major ones that all came out at roughly the same time when MMOs were starting to kind of hit. Mm-hmm. This would have been right around the time EverQuest just officially launched. EverQuest is what I meant to buy. Sorry, Asheron's Call people. But I mixed it up because I saw a video that was talking about three of them. And EverQuest is the one I wanted. Asheron's Call is the one I accidentally got. So I played it for a couple of weeks before I kind of was like, I don't think this is the one I meant to get. And then I ended up getting into EverQuest shortly thereafter. So I didn't play a ton of Asheron's Call. And anybody who, I mean, nowadays it's streamlined and it's different, but if you played MMOs back in the day, like, they were the most impenetrable things to get into at first. Like,
oh, yeah.
Imagine playing WoW now if you had no idea what the game even was. And then now imagine it way more complicated.
No WoWhead, no MMO champion, no news sites. There'd be this one website, but navigating it was a tremendous task.
So, yeah, I can't really say what kind of game Asheron's Call was. I kept wandering to new places. Mm-hmm. Basically, I kept walking in this giant loop around a set of lands, killing things until I got elemental weapons because I thought they looked really cool because they were weapons with particle effects on them. Mm-hmm. And I kept trying to make my character look like Chrono from Chrono Trigger because they had katanas in that game. But, to me, that was what an MMO was supposed to be. And you said it just now, like, World of Warcraft feels like a theme park. It does not feel like a open world. It feels like a sit down, shut up, We're going to give you the content when we want to give you the content. You will experience this at our pace.
Sometimes you'll wait in line.
Yeah, there will be a lot of waiting. There will be a lot of sitting. And look, it's going to be fun. There's going to be moments where you're like, I'm on a ride and this is fun. But you are like, if you crave adventure, if you're craving the open seas, like, look elsewhere, because that is not the kind of game that it is. And it's always been that way to a degree, but I feel like it started as an open world or in more open world. And I feel like it's become progressively more and more restrictive.
Or really quick suggestion to toss at you. Is it that World of Warcraft is becoming more and more restrictive, or is it that we've seen examples of other games be far more flexible and potentially dynamic?
No, I think it's more restrictive.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I don't know, maybe it is an illusion, because technically the quests haven't necessarily changed, although Cataclysm did change it to some degree. But, I don't know, when I started playing as an undead, I felt like I could go anywhere and do whatever I wanted, and maybe it's just a difference of UI, but now, like, it's, oh no, I'm gonna go to this exclamation mark right here, and that's going to take me to the next set of exclamation marks, and they're all going to be quests that can be done right in conjunction with each other. Like, they streamlined it. And some of that's good, but some of that's also bad, because it's like walking down a narrow tube. Like, you're just seeing this. And I think even they've acknowledged it. They said Pandaria was an attempt to get away from that, and that's why there were multiple places you could go at any given time for quest hubs, but I don't know. It's very difficult for me to say for sure where they've ultimately landed. I just know that I don't feel like I can take on the content and experience the game at my pace. I feel like I can only take it on and experience it at the pace they want for me.
There is a buzz phrase when it comes to MMOs in general, and it can be applied to other games as well, called dynamic content. If you look up the word dynamic, you know, on the web, or when looking in your dictionary, if you still have an actual dictionary book, you'll see dynamic. The definition for it is characterized by constant change, activity, or progress. There have been times in which dev team members have talked about how, you know, some of the things that they're introducing into the game is like this dynamic content and stuff. Timeless Isle, they mentioned dynamic content a couple times. They brought up dynamic content in regards to most recently 7.2 with A Broken Shore, in regards to players having an impact on what gets built and how fast it gets built, which, I mean, I guess, yeah, that's kind of cool, but when I'm looking for a world to play in that has dynamic content, I think I'm looking more for than just one or two aspects that has dynamic content. When I think dynamic content in an MMO, I'm looking for things that happen out in the open world that, one, are not always easily predictable, that don't happen on a set schedule. Hi, Legion invasions in the Broken Isles. I want stuff that happens based on the influence of player actions. Now, the buildings in 7.2 are a good example, but that's one example of some of the kind of stuff I want to see in regards to dynamic content. It's like, it almost feels like I'm being teased with these buildings, right? It's like, yes, Blizzard knows how to develop dynamic content, but I want more stuff like that. And dynamic content, especially in an MMO, and this is the most challenging thing to do in an MMO, but if you can pull it off, then people will herald it as a great achievement, is stuff that happens that can have long-term ramifications, where what you do in a zone or a quest line or something like that have consequences on the world and help shape the world, or help shape what stuff appears, what stuff you encounter and don't encounter. That this is all kind of my, like, what's the ideal MMO world that I want to see? I want to see stuff like that happen. There is a part of me that really, really, really just wants to see that kind of stuff be brought into World of Warcraft. And I don't feel like that stuff is necessarily that difficult to implement, let alone impossible to implement, because Blizzard has demonstrated a couple of times that they know how they can create that kind of content. And I just feel like it's just simply a design decision to not put too much of that in there. And I'm going to let you talk because I've rambled for far on too long.
I just think that, like, hey, we chose between three preset buildings is shitty choice. Like, look, I heard a funny joke, and I'm going to repurpose it because it was actually about heroes, but I think the joke is just as applicable to World of Warcraft.
Sure.
Here's the joke, Ro. Yep. How do you know somebody's been playing since vanilla?
They remember when the Mage Tower was up?
No. just say what, because it's not as funny if you actually make a guess. So let me do that again, Ro,
sure.
For not playing around. Jeez.
I will edit that out.
Ro, how do you know that somebody's been playing since vanilla?
How, John?
Oh, they'll tell you. So that being said, it's a funny joke, but there's a reason people talk about it a lot. And look, I'm not somebody who wants to go play on classic servers. I think WoW has made a lot of good progress over the years.
Agreed.
But, like, to me, the things that are the interesting, fun stories of World of Warcraft are never going to be, we picked Mage Tower 2 weeks in a row. It's never going to be, boy, wasn't it funny that time that we did the daily quest that was up? It's not going to be, hey guys, that cutscene that literally everybody who plays World of Warcraft saw was really good. To me, the stories that are so cool about WoW is, hey guys, do you remember the time the Alliance came and kidnapped all the Horde flight masters and held them for ransom on the forums? Hey guys, do you remember the time we walked Jaina from Theramore into Orgrimmar and she killed a bunch of people?
Do you remember the time that we killed this one boss in the raid and only Tetsemi was up alive at the end of it?
Yes. These are the stories that stick with people.
Yeah.
And these aren't set experiences. They aren't little meters that we fill. It isn't me clicking a UI button saying, I'd like a Mage Tower. It's the world being a world that we're being active in. It's the sandbox. And somewhere along the way, Blizzard decided that sandbox was maybe too buggy, maybe not focused enough, maybe too weird, maybe too problematic. And they got away from it. And when they got away from it, I feel like they lost a little bit of something. So, yeah, to kind of go back to where we started on this, telling me about Legion invasions, it sounds like a really scripted, tight experience that I will try to go through at some point, but it also feels like everything I don't like about the game right now in kind of a unified package. Here's you're doing a lot of things that you've been doing for the past couple of expansions. Here's something with a set content time. Like, I can't stand that. I was going to do this show, and I knew we were going to talk about it, and I wanted to experience Legion Invasions before the show, but I couldn't because it's not in the game. They put out a patch. They put out a patch, and it's not even gated content. It's actively going in the game. They just shut it off every now and then. It's just like, oh, they're on. Oh, they're off. Arbitrarily.
And
there's
mind you, during the week or two before Legion launched, I mean, it wasn't invasions were on or off. It was which zone's getting invaded. If one zone wasn't, another zone was.
Like, what was I supposed to do? Should I have gone to my boss and said, sorry, I can only experience a Legion invasion while I'm at work here today. I'm going to have to take the rest of the day off because I want to play WoW, and Blizzard's decided that WoW time is apparently time where I'm at work. Like, it's such a stupid, arbitrary thing. And I think when you compare current Legion invasions to the old Legion invasions, mm-hmm. like, here's the difference. The original invasions were dynamic. There was a different story every time I ran one of those. Might not have been an interesting story, but man, it felt cool as a raid team to go swooping from land to land and do it all together in a big group. It also felt cool to do it on a new hero. And that was the other thing. It encouraged you to get in and play a new character and level them up super fast. And it really kind of opened my eyes to how nice it is when the game feels like it's respecting your time. Like, Legion invasions felt like it respected your time, maybe even a little too much, but it was like, man, I'm going to log in and I'm going to level like 15 times. and it's going to be great. And I'm going to get to experience this new type of character that I've never played before. It got me trying tanking on a druid. Like, I don't play druids and I don't play tanks. But I was like, oh man, why not? I can do it. I can level it super fast. I'm going to try bear tanking. I went in and I was a friggin' bear tank for one of those invasions.
Nice.
And that felt super cool. And that was a unique story from it. Like, I'm not going to go around telling everybody about the time that we went in and did a scenario and it was just like the last scenario that I did. But the time I had to be bear tank, I'll tell people about that because that was fun.
Yeah, it's so I guess I kind of want to wrap things up by saying, and I feel like I say this a lot, especially on WoW podcasts I'm on, is I think some people that listen to me talk wonder why the heck I'm so critical about stuff that's happening in Legion, when at the same time, I think that Legion, it's funny that I'm so critical, but at the same time, if you ask me how much do I like Legion, I really do like Legion. I still, at the very beginning, I said that my favorite expansion was Wrath of the Lich King, and then Legion is probably my second favorite. That is still holding true today. I still feel Wrath of the Lich King was the peak for me in World of Warcraft. The other expansions had their ups and downs and such, and I feel like Legion is number two in that slot. I'm still going to be critical of it, not because I hate the game or I think the game sucks. I know that my experience as a player has changed, and I know that I consume World of Warcraft differently now because I play other games and because I want to do other things. But I'm critical of it because I know what WoW has done before. I've seen those bright, shining moments before. The launch Legion invasions was an awesome, amazing experience. Now, if they had brought it in that format at 7.2, would it have been equally as awesome? No, probably not, because it would have been stuff that we had done before exactly that way. But I do think it would have been better than the current packaging of invasions.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll just kind of echo that. Legion is probably my second or third favorite WoW expansion.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's probably tied with Mists of Pandaria at number two. And the only reason is I think I have enjoyed Legion's story and elements of the world and the way it ties to WoW more than Pandaria, but I played way more of Pandaria.
Right.
But that's an important distinction, is that just because I've probably clocked fewer hours in Legion than a lot of expansions doesn't mean I didn't really love the hours that I played. To me, that's not necessarily a bad mark in quality. I mean, when it was Warlords, I wasn't playing because playing was actively unfun. Like, it was a bad experience to play, so I chose to go do other things and focus on other content. Legion, I know I can log in and have a good time. Now, it's having a harder time selling me that good time is going to be better than a good time I'll have someplace else. It's maybe struggling a little bit there, but I know I can get in, and I know I'll have things to do, and I know it'll be fun. It's been a solid expansion, and I feel bad also being so critical of something that I like, but I also know that they can do better, and so this is me giving my legitimate thoughts and feedback Sometimes it's going to be flowery and great, and sometimes it's going to be a little harsh. And I really like Legion, but I'm ready for World of Warcraft to feel like a world again. And I feel like Legion even brushed up against it because it had me going to the old world and doing a bunch of cool stuff. But it's not there yet. And recycling the same system and structure of old late game, end game content isn't going to win me over. Like, if you put out a patch and you say it's our biggest content patch, I want to go in and feel like there's too much to do. And instead, I logged in and said, well, maybe this will be more interesting in a couple of weeks.
You know, that's an interesting discussion, possibly for an entirely different time. Is the pacing or the structure of 7.2 a response to everyone who felt like there was too much to do at launch? So the dev team is like, well, since you guys can't control yourself, since you guys think that you see a buffet table and you need to eat everything right now, we're just going to serve it to you one dish at a time.
I don't know. It's tough to say. I can tell you that so far, I have not liked a single dish they've brought to the table since Legion launched. There hasn't been a single appealing thing. I think I saw Karazhan go by, going to another table, if we're going to stick with this analogy.
Sure.
I saw a waiter go by, and I was like, oh, I'd like to try... Oh, it's not for my table.
It's not today's special.
Yeah, that happened. And that's the other thing, is like sometimes they put content in the game in a place that's just not going to be for me. And I've come to terms with that on Karazhan. It's like, oh, okay, I don't...
Well, you can do it as thing. Heroic now.
Okay.
Well. I know that isn't a solution.
Yeah. What I would have liked, Ro, is to have been very excited at the end of Legion and then been like, oh, guys, and we're going to all go and get in Karazhan. But that's not how it worked. They put a lot of gates in front of it. They put a lot of restrictions in front of it. And the people I wanted to do that content with weren't in a position to do that content. And by the time that they were, some of them were no longer playing the game. Some of them had found, because it was that important to them, just other people to do that content with. And, you know, that's the way it goes. That's fine. That was Blizzard's call, but, you know, that would have kept me interested past the initial launch of Legion. And now all the way up to 7.2, the content they're putting out has just been real drip fed. And maybe I'll just wait until they put in catch-up mechanics, and it's like, oh, no, you can sit down and actually enjoy it. Because, again, it comes down to, I want my time in WoW to feel meaningful, and it doesn't feel meaningful if it's, well, I logged in and played for 5 minutes, and I got everything I needed out of it. Like, that doesn't feel good. That's no, when I want to play WoW, I want to play WoW, right? Like, right. I can understand how someone might hear me say this and say, but John, you just said there were so many games to play. Like, can't you appreciate that WoW doesn't want to take up all your time? That's not how it works, and you know it. Everybody out there who plays video games knows.
We get our cravings for different things at different times. I mean, yeah. I played Overwatch last night for the first time in months, and not because there was some sort of special event going on. It's because I was feeling like hopping on Reinhardt and moving the payload, and it felt good.
Yeah, and what if Overwatch had said, oh, I'm sorry, Ro, you've played a match. You need to take a break and go do something else. Well, no, that's not how I want to do it. I'm in the mood for Overwatch. I want to play Overwatch. I was in the mood for Legion this morning, and I went through and I did some, you know, daily quest things, and then that was done, and I was like, I wonder if there's any new story content or anything. I don't see it. If it is, it's someplace that's not being made apparent to me. All right, I guess I'm done. And if all that content was there, sure, maybe there are going to be people who burn out super fast on it. But at the same time, isn't that them just saying that that's the pace they want to go through the game? Like, I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is, but we'll see. We'll see where it goes. I would love to check back in later on in this patch cycle and see how I'm feeling about it later.
That, and there's a couple of discussions I think you and I may have in the future, some stuff that I want to touch on, is one discussion we have is just the whole thing of gated content. And there's different forms of gated content, and some are better than others, and some might argue that any form of gating just shouldn't be around. Then I'd be one to tell you that some forms of gating are actually, I think, vital and essential to the game. But that's one discussion to have. Another one is talking about story. And this episode would have been talking about 7.2 story, except we haven't gotten a whole lot of 7.2 story yet. So we're going to have to give that one a little while.
I don't know if there's been any, except that, like, hey, there's ships.
Hey, Illidan's back. Did you know?
Illidan. Yeah, I know. I saw it on YouTube.
Well, I'm sure we will have more to talk about in several weeks when we get to that. Until then, though, John, first of all, thanks for being my co-pilot once again this week for the third time, although it's the second time for most listeners. Where, when, and how can people find you on your other stuff?
Best way to find me is to just follow me on Twitter. I'll let you know where I am, what I'm up to. You can find my Twitter account at John_Jagger. That's just J-O-N for John. No H. There's no need to complicate it. And then if you want to hear me talk more about World of Warcraft, you can check out Azeroth Roundtable. That's with me and Ben Bumhofer. And, you know, we just talk about, we just chat about WoW. It's kind of like this. And then if you say, hey, John, you're too critical, I would say, okay, well, then maybe you want to hear me talk about Heroes of the Storm, and you can check out Core, which is the Heroes of the Storm show I do, which is part of the Frog Pants Network, and you can find out more information about that at heroesforyou.com.
Awesome, folks. You can find me on Twitter at Rowow. That's R-H-O-W-O-W. And you'll hear the rest of the stuff at the end of the show. Although, as always, I want to thank everyone who supported this podcast and the Realm Maintenance Podcast via Patreon. And you can continue to show that support or join those supporters by going to patreon.com/realmpodcast. Until next time, he's been John, I've been Ro, and we now return you to your regularly scheduled adventures in Azeroth. Goodbye, everybody. It's the end of the show, and that means it's once again time for your weekly podcast roundup brought to you by the Realm Maintenance Podcast. The following is an insanely quick rundown of every Blizzard podcast I'm aware of that produced a show between April 10th and 16th of 2017. For General Blizzard Podcast, we have All Things Azeroth, Blizzard Umbrella, Blizzard Watch, BlizzCon Countdown, The Blue Recluse, Battle.net News, Epic Fail, Frozen Nerds, Gamecase Show, Geeks of Azeroth, Lagging Balls, The Sundering, Torn Think Tank, and The Weekly Blizz. World of Warcraft podcasts include Adventures in Azeroth, the AIE podcast, Arcane Analysis, Azeroth Coast to Coast, Azeroth Roundtable, Battle Pets, Converted, Control at WoW, Final Boss for Azeroth, Goblin Gold Cast, Lion's Pride Tavern, the Lorecraft podcast, Lorewatch Millfinger podcast, Pwncast, The Starting Zone, The Summoning Stone, Tankcast, The Torn and the Goblin, The Training Dummies of Worgen's Howl, World of Warcast, and WoW Challenges. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we have 16R Dusty, Angry Chicken, Brewmasters, Coin Conceit, Fireside Talks, Golden Wisp, Hearthholics, Hearth Coach, Hero Power Cast, The Lightforge, Legend of the Innkeeper, Valetown, Velen's Chosen, Walk to Work, and Well Met. Westmarch Workshop is your Diablo podcast. Heroes of a Storm podcast include Dirty Casual, Gankbush Squad, Heroes Forge, Heroes Radio, Heroes of a Storm Power Hour, Into the Nexus, Lords of a Storm, and the Nexus Trolls. And finally, for Overwatch, we have The Cavalry, Heroes Never Die, High Noon, Into the Iris, Junkertown FM, The Legendary Loot Box, Omnic Lab, Overcast, The Overcast, Overplayed, Overtime, Overview, Overwatchers, Theory Watch, and Watchpoint. You can find the weekly podcast roundup at the end of this show and the Realm Maintenance Podcast. For links to all these shows and other great Blizzard podcasts, go to realm-maintenance.com. You can find this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, or your podcast app of choice. You can follow the show on Twitter at RestartCast, email the show at RollingRestartPodcast@gmail.com. The Rolling Restart is a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions. You can find archives of this show at RollingRestart.FrozenFoxMedia.com. The music for the show is Shaping of the World, originally by Jason Hayes from Blizzard Entertainment, and remixed by Pascal Michael Stifel. No copyright infringement is intended. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.